The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Broadcasting from beautiful, sexy, steamy Studio City, California, this is the Knapsack Files. I'm Ken Knapsack for another edition of Life Rank. We're back. Sorry, I had to take a little bit of a break. Travel got in my way. I should make a ranking about that. No, I won't. Get it? Got it. Good. This is the show where me and some special guests will rank life in a 1-5 order, or actually a 5-1 order with a specific topic generally related to their life. I haven't done it randomly. Maybe I should. Glad to have you guys here. With me is, she's very familiar with the Knapsack Files fans, and in fact, familiar to Life Rank. She was one of the first episodes released, and also the first recorded. It's Megan Finley.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You ready to rank some things?
Ready to rank. I'm always ranking things.
This one's interesting because this is about something that you became.
This is true.
Not something that I knew early on. Right. The Megan I knew was not this
whole
this
new Megan
speciality.
Guys. Surprise.
So this is interesting. Yeah. But with us to help rank things is the reason I think in large part you're now this way, which is writer-producer Mike Horowitz.
Hi there.
How are you?
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm good. I'm fine.
you're not trepidatious, right? We're not going to reveal any secrets?
Well, we'll see. I don't know what you're going to ask.
Oh, you don't know yet.
Yeah.
So
maybe that's number two.
Could be. Could
secret.
Be. The big
we'll
secret.
See. Massive secret.
So the
our own fault, but, you know.
The list tonight is the top five reasons to be a foodie. All right?
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Is that true, Megan?
That is the assignment you gave me, Ken.
It is the assignment, the homework assignment I get. Now, I've even mentioned this on previous shows on the Knapsack Files. I like horrible restaurants. I have bad taste in food. Spend 80% of my meals at 7-Eleven. I am the opposite of what a foodie is, or what I think a foodie might be.
Not necessarily.
This is also an education for me.
Okay.
Which is probably what this entire podcast feed is about.
I just feel like it's what our friendship is about, but that's cool.
Yeah, well, I definitely learn. You definitely teach me. So I kind of, we have a list. We're going to get to it. But Mike, this kind of started with you. You're the foodie first here in this relationship. And you guys are engaged to be married. I think we can say that.
That's true.
Get the wonderful chance to attend your wedding, which is up in Endor. It's going to be great.
Yeah, chance. Makes it sound nicer than it is.
You had an option.
Yeah, you have to come.
I'll be there. Now, Mike, you, it's fair to call yourself a foodie.
Yeah, you know, it's actually a term that I didn't like initially. I still think it sounds pretty stupid.
I can get that, yeah.
But I don't know if I've ever heard a term that's better. Gourmet certainly sounds dumber. Eater, I don't know what else you would say. I feel like...
Culinary enthusiast.
I like that.
Yeah, I think that sounds really bad. Sorry.
Expert yeah. Food appreciator?
Appreciator, yeah, because definitely not a cooker in any way or maker, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know... what was the word it's just you like to eat too much and maybe a little dash of pretension. So yes,
that's from outside looking in. That is the word I think I have to use, right? I mean,
yeah.
Well, is that not a low blow?
I mean, the thing about it is I feel like it's a word that's trying to not be pretentious and then it accidentally is. Because it's just saying food.
Right.
I don't think that's that bad of a word. I don't know.
No, food's a great word.
Food's a great word. Yeah.
So it's not even saying like fancy food or dining-y or something.
Right.
Diner. Diner. Weirdly, diner is taken and worse. So I don't know. So I resisted the label for a while. But I just got into restaurants and got in. And I think... The big decision I probably have to attribute weirdly to my mom, who pointed out that I was at that point living in an apartment and massively in debt and still going and shopping and going to a grocery store and buying a bunch of crap and then also going out to eat.
Right.
And she pointed out that, which is doesn't feel to me like motherly advice, but she pointed out that going out and buying groceries was wasting money because most of them were just going bad.
Yeah.
And
I do that.
I should just commit one way or another.
Right.
And
know that.
Yeah.
Thanks, pal.
Yeah, that happened. So that was like late in my 20s, and I've pretty much eaten out uninterrupted every meal since.
Really?
Yeah.
Terrifyingly true.
That's why.
Did you not know that?
I did not know.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. So
Mike eats just about every single meal out in a restaurant. Yeah. It's very rare that he eats something at home.
It's my first thought of that isn't cost or or just the notion of doing that.
It should be.
It's the work and effort that takes.
Oh, yes, it
right.
is.
That's a lot.
Well, so here are the mitigating factors. Once I, you know, the needle scratch stops, and you should see how my doctor looks at me when I say that. But I have to say these things, which is one, I'm a writer.
Yeah.
I'm renting tables all the time. That is my life. I don't like to write at home. I like to write in cafes, what have
you.
So it's actually probably healthier to eat meals, like some meals, and be paying for the table, waiters, waitresses like that more than just
coffee,
endless coffees.
Or water, yeah.
Right.
So there's that. Those meals are not, eating out every meal is not unhealthy places. It's not like...
you're not hitting Chili's.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So there's plenty of more healthy places in that list. And I mean, I guess I would say, I feel like I'm doing a ranking here, but for reasons for this. But I also, yeah, I mean, I don't, I would probably like to cook a little more, but being, but I was single for a lot of that and, or dating girls who couldn't cook. And that
has not changed.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I don't know if that's changed.
But, yeah, well,
you
ever
heard of the YouTube series Making Simple?
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously.
Yeah. But the other thing I would say about this is we are lucky to live in Los Angeles, and we live in exactly in the middle of Los Angeles, and there's an endless variety of awesome stuff that is cheap, sometimes healthy, and sometimes cheap, sometimes healthy, of every ethnicity, and you can, and you know, you can sample a billion things. And so I like variety, and mediocre food that I make at home is not going
to
cut it.
I can just understand. When did this journey hit? When were you like, your friends are heading to Jack in the Box and you're like, I'm going to go somewhere else. When did this journey jump off?
So, yeah, it's sort of, I mean, well, I was going to say it's interesting, but I don't know if it's interesting. But my dad was like, all about Chili's and chain restaurants. Like it was seriously like he would, he had like chain dar. So if you went to a restaurant, he would be like, I like this place. And then you'd like be like, oh, wait, is it a chain? And you'd look it up and you'd be like, oh, my God, there is another one. Because you liked it, it is now a chain. And so it's not like I got the fancy from him.
Yeah.
But I my friends, actually, I remember them liking Jonathan Gold before I did, who is my my favorite food critic, the only food critic to ever win a Pulitzer, LA Times critic.
Okay.
But initially, when my friends were getting into him, he was at the LA Weekly, and he had done written a book called Counterintelligence. So they would I would go with them to little mom and pop restaurants. Then sort of the quintessential Jonathan Gold place is like a place in a strip mall. They're serving one dish that's like the grandmother's recipe, and it's fucking amazing Oaxacan food, and nothing else on the menu is good, and there's nowhere to sit. And it's you know, it's terrifying, but he's reviewing it like it's a 4-star, you know, 5-star restaurant, Michelin star restaurant.
I can dig that.
Yeah. So that was sort of the way in. Was like, I remember going on trips and being like, oh my God, in the Diamond District in New York, there's this kebab place. We got to go to that. And so it was, that was the cheap version of this.
Okay.
And I'll make this quicker, but, and so it took a while. There was a definitely like a 5-year period where I was going to cool, hidden, well-reviewed, awesome cheap eats wherever I was, but I didn't have any money. So I was like doing it on the cheap. And then I got my career going.
Yeah.
And so then I started getting excited about
you could step
more
it
expensive.
Up.
And then I stepped it up.
You could step it up.
But I still like a variety of the stuff.
And before we dive into your list here, and actually I want to move on to Megan's story. You have in your house, and I've had the pleasure of seeing it, you have something called the Situation Room, which can best be described as something that, you know, Stanley Kubrick would put in a war film, of a very nice, well-decorated room, leather chairs, all that kind of stuff, and a giant map of greater Los Angeles with little pins on it of every restaurant you've attended, right? Am I describing this?
Fairly close, yes.
Fairly close.
Not every restaurant I've been to, but I mean, but every restaurant I like see
Del Taco's
to recommend.
Not on there.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the Jonathan Gold list always, whatever year it is.
And oh, then, okay. So specific to him.
Yeah,
specific
it's color-coded, so...
I've seen the color.
Right. Yeah. So one section of it is Jonathan Gold restaurants.
Yeah.
Ranked. They're little numbered pins. And another section is just... American fare, European fare,
Asian fare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, it's like 60s Oval Office themed.
Yeah.
And
good way to describe that.
And people were suggesting that I put other things in it when, you know, I had it designed and constructed. And I was all about having it the room is completely useless except for figuring out where to go for dinner. Like,
right.
That is the situation, and that is what it's
Well, about. I also shot a little sketch in there with you, and so it has some double meaning.
That's true. That's true. But it was a set.
But in general,
it's basically a set. Fine.
It is what it is. And there's rankings on there, all the food. There's lists. There's, like, clocks from different time zones, but it's really just the same time zone, right?
Yeah. It's like Culver City.
Culver City, right.
Westwood.
I like that. All right, so Megan, I want to switch over to you. Number one, when you first started dating this man and you walk into the house and see that situation room, what is your reaction?
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I was very excited about it. I mean, I work for Offbeat Home, so obviously, sure. like, you know, you and I both are like-minded on this matter that Mike's mm-hmm. house kind of looks like a really
Stop
nice Radisson.
There's a lot of pictures of icebergs in there, Mike. A lot of pictures of icebergs. Mike, what's the iceberg fixation?
Yeah. That's because you guys hate the planet.
That's fair for me. Megan, not so much, but for me, that's good.
But, you know, it's kind of devoid of personality. And so everybody, when I moved in, they were like, you're going to get rid of the situation room, right? And I wanted to smack them because I was like, no, that is the best room of the house. How dare you? That is one of the moments that I was like, oh, mm-hmm. this guy can get it.
Yeah.
you had a room devoted to restaurants in Los Angeles. I'm about it.
Now I have the benefit of knowing you for a long time, Megan, and I would never. It's a benefit. I would never have described you as a foodie
right.
or anything near a foodie. Anytime you and I went to eat, it was pretty simple ideas, hanging out. Anytime you're like, hey, you want to hang out tonight at my house? You want to eat dinner? Like, I've ordered pizza or I've cooked white rice, kind of.
Yeah.
And microwaved. I put something on it. Like maybe a meat.
Did I? No, sometimes. Never. Yeah. No, you are giving me far too much credit, my friend. It was just plain white rice out of a bag.
So you start taking this journey.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not just that you're like, say, you know, lazy, don't want to cook, or lazy, don't want to go to a restaurant. You not an adventurous eater, right?
Well, I wasn't, no, but I loved food. I've always loved food. Like, like getting up in the morning was like the first thing I thought was like a whole new day to eat food.
Well, that's fair to the human existence. So we all want to.
Well, not always excited about it.
Maybe
people eat to survive.
I am.
Yeah.
Always excited.
I
about
eat to
7-Eleven.
Hurt and then want to die afterwards That's because fair. I've eaten too much.
That's fair.
That's a successful evening.
So, did you start this journey just because you know you started to fall for this guy? You wanted like let that happens in relationships. Like, all right, I will take this journey with you. I never ridden a roller coaster before, but I'm going to get on it because you like it.
Well, I love food, so going to I loved going to restaurants because I worked at a restaurant, so I know exactly what goes into that experience, and it is a hell of a lot.
Mm-hmm,
and so I started to appreciate going to restaurants, like taking little mini vacations when I was in the service industry. Because I was I don't have to bring anybody anything or
you're
bus
not sitting
anything.
You're sitting
or
on,
smile at some asshole. I could just, I am that asshole now.
Great.
I'm okay with this. And I had also, if you recall from the last time that you and I did Knapsack Files, I was going through a big life upheaval.
Sure.
So I was doing this just try anything mode. Say yes to everything.
Right.
Test your boundaries. And so though I was a picky eater, I started to eat things I would have never eaten before. And,
like what's the first thing Mike ordered that you were like, I must really like this dude.
Chicken? I didn't even
The answer?
Yeah.
Chicken?
I didn't even
Not like
eat
a
chicken.
Moving rooster? Like a live?
No,
like it's moving on your plate?
No.
Something with a squid base?
No. Our first couple of restaurants were really easy that we went to. It was like Mexican food and...
Oh.
Yeah. Chicken. I did not eat chicken. I was that picky.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, I'm about to eat a chicken taco. I must really like this guy. And then I was like, whoa, guess what, world...
You like chicken taco.
Chicken is good. I don't know if you got the memo.
Wow. Okay.
There you go.
Come a long way.
That's my number one. Chicken is good.
Chicken is good. And then you have definitely embraced it, and you have your own little kind of foodie brand now that you guys both have, and it is Treats and Geeks, right?
Yeah. Mike has been Instagramming his food for a long time at his Instagram handle of What's Mike Eating Now. Mm-hmm. And my Instagram handle was mostly just me geeking out and, you know, dyeing my hair. So I started a whole new one just to do the food stuff because why not? I mean, we both are that couple that takes food pictures of their food before they eat it.
Totally
those guys.
I've been to dinner with you when you're like, hold on,
don't touch that. Don't touch
it. And I usually am like, I'm going to take this opportunity to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Smart. And so I started Treats and Geeks, a la Freaks and Geeks, where TV, pop culture meets
greatest shows of all time.
Agreed.
Great food. It's good. You're a foodie.
Yes.
Mike's been a foodie.
Yep.
You're a foodie couple now.
I am.
It happened.
It did.
Yeah.
It's a thing. But now I need to know.
Okay.
The top five best reasons to be a foodie. Starting with number five.
Okay, number five.
Number five.
We know how to pronounce those words on the menu that give you a little pause.
Okay, it's because I'm...
So then you end up pointing at something.
I'm that person.
Yeah, so we know how to pronounce words like poke, banh mi, shakshuka, foie gras, my favorite word, charcuterie, and Queen Amon. Which is
I'd love her
not even spelled anything like how it sounds.
She was from the Dreadfort, right? Okay.
She's from the pastry shelf.
Okay. That's a great reason because I am one of the persons that you're speaking of that I'm like, if there's no picture, I'll go to a second tier option that kind of looks like something I've eaten before.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, while I agree with Megan's list here, that I'm already making sound like it's just Megan's.
Yeah.
But
you're backing out.
No. But
you offend foodies at large.
These are all things I'm going to second, but I'm now thinking of my take on these as we're thinking about it. And actually, I would even back out a little further, which is because we eat out to the degree that we do, like, I was intimidated to go eat at fancy restaurants 10, 12 years ago, and I am no longer because I am used to a lot of the verbiage, and I kind of don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And my, like, I've been to a lot of restaurants, and I don't care, and if you get a cocktail, then you look, and you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And sometimes you know what the word is, and sometimes you don't, and, but the plan is for you to have a good meal. So I've stopped being worried about it.
Right. Yeah. But the reason we know those words is because we have done the homework where you show up to the restaurant and you're like, I don't even know what that is. What is this, please?
Is 90% of the homework asking the waiter how to say it?
Yes.
Or do you Google search it, look up the history of the word?
We do.
I mean, seriously, what is
it? Yeah, no, but if I hit a word I don't know, I'll look it up, you know, kind of like studying in high school.
In high school,
right?
I remember
failing
at
that. Parents taught you to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
And we look it up, and if it tells you how to pronounce it, yay. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, then you stumble upon it and hope the waiter helps you.
Right, but like Mike's saying is, you've reached the point where you're like, hey, what is this word?
Yeah, what even is this
thing? Cucumber. Great, got it.
Yeah,
exactly. Always cucumber. The weird thing is we have a block about that.
Cucumber.
Yeah.
But you know, give me the it's too verbose sign if this is. But but when you're making fun of the it's just a weird V. But when you're making fun of taking pictures at whatever, you know, people who take pictures in meals, I feel like, as dorky as that is, it somehow just keeps paying dividends for us. And we were at like...
It's got you to this show, Mike.
Well, I know. Exactly. We're here, baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, started from the bottom.
Now we're here.
But we were in Tokyo, and we were trying to figure out where to go. And I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to Instagram just buy food from in Shibuya.
Yeah.
And Shinjuku, actually. And went through and I was like, that picture looks delicious.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it was. And we went and found like this small like okonomiyaki place. And now we know what okonomiyaki is.
Another word we can say.
What does that word mean?
Delicious Japanese pancake made of all kinds of stuff, including seafood and...
Just like a savory pancake.
Ooh.
That's made on this grill in front of you.
Oh, I understand the word
sauces.
Savory.
Oh my God,
okay.
So good. It's one of my favorite things.
What is on the list that you just... What is your favorite
word?
What is your favorite word?
My favorite word has been for a very long time charcuterie.
I was drawn to that.
And I learned that. I had no idea what it was. My two of my friends work at Providence, which is like the number one ranked restaurant in Los Angeles.
That's a different show.
Okay.
But hospital ranked.
She would use the word charcuterie, and I'd be like, that's so cute. What does that mean? Charcuterie. She's like, nothing
it's like
you
a
want.
Tiny
no,
shark.
She's like, you don't want any part of that. And I'm like, well, it's charcuterie. It's mostly just like really thinly shaved pork products.
Do you not know what charcuterie
Maybe
is?
Maybe it's
I don't,
a beef. It's
I
just
don't.
A plate of like meats.
I mean, it's something
it's
I would
usually,
like.
It's usually cheese and charcuterie. So it's a plate of meat and cheese. But the charcuterie alludes to, and bread. Yeah.
I would, if I saw the word charcuterie.
Yeah. Can
is
you
that
see?
How I'm saying it?
Well, yeah. Do you want to see how it looks?
No. You said it right the first time.
Charcuterie? Okay. Okay. It looks different.
Yeah.
I was thinking like a shark.
Shark. Oh,
it was like it was like a transformer.
Yeah.
It was like someone G.I. Joe fought, you know? But
sometimes
I see that
they
now.
Bring that out.
It's a wonderful. Like,
see, I look at that now. I think char, C H A R. Now I'm understanding in my dumb brain the connection to meat.
Hmm. Oh, I don't even.
Could I don't be. Even, I don't know.
Yeah. It's but probably like, not the reason.
It's French.
That word is Queen Amon.
Queen Amon. That's how you say Queen Amon?
It's spelled like Koigen Ammon.
It does not look at all like David Bowie's wife, Iman.
No.
David
Mike,
Bowie.
Mike, what is your favorite word?
Yeah, what's your favorite word?
Out of that. And not to eat. List? I know what yours is favorite to eat on that list, but to actually say. Or do you have one that's weird that you like?
Oh, what would be a good word that I liked? Well,
these are things you thought of before you came here.
Akonomiyaki.
I mean, and you said it with authority, Mike.
Right. That's true.
All right. So that's number five. You can say the words I cannot say.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
And I like it. It help and it helps foster adventures. Mike's explaining too. Where you're like, now I get it. I'm going to learn.
Now I see what this is.
Number four.
Do you want to read number four? No. Do you want me to do it? I'll do it. You didn't even like number four. Okay. My number four, which I originally had.
Whose list is this?
Okay. Originally, I had it as number one. He edited this to go back all the way to four.
Like a good writer.
Food is awesome.
Okay.
It's making a hobby of something you literally have to do for survival. So why not celebrate it? Why not make it a thing? Like, you have to do it. And it's a lot easier to, like, have more fun with it than other things you literally have to do for survival.
I like that. I really actually buy into that notion. Obviously, you've seen how I look. I like to eat.
Right.
So that, more than anything, makes me understand what you are more.
Oh, see?
Wow.
Should have been number one.
Well, yeah, no.
I guess so.
No, let's play this out.
Yeah.
But all right.
Wait, are these rankings that are just supposed to impress you, or they're for the world? No,
they're for the world. They're for the world.
If I was just trying to impress you, I would have come up with different rankings.
You would have brought an awesome blossom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. No, it's for the world, but I'm egocentric enough to need it to impress me as well.
Right. That's enough for me.
Like, if it's that time where you're like, oh, I'm hungry, like my tummy's empty, I should fill it.
Like in 10 minutes.
I know, and your little sad trip to 7-Eleven is just not celebratory enough of this
you're
thing.
You're inserting a lot of feelings in there that you don't understand.
That's true. There is a lot of wonderful stuff at 7-Eleven.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? Like make it, take it and run, guys. We got to do it anyway.
I like the idea of embracing something we have to do, embracing something that we, you know, should be fun. If you can not just afford it in terms of money, but in time and be able to do it.
I think it's why people like to cook as well.
Sure.
Like
exactly.
You know, really get into the experience.
Okay. I like that.
Celebrate food.
Do you love doing homework?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Why? That's why I don't cook.
No, I know. I'm just
cooking
saying.
Is kind of homework.
You got to do homework anyway.
It's restaurant homework.
We love it.
But I mean, if you have to write that paper, you might as well write a great paper. You might as well have fun with it.
Why is it though? And I'll really focus this on you, Mike, as kind of more of a lifelong foodie. There is I don't want to say negative connotation, but there is some people will react to the word foodie or just that what it is. Oh, they like fancy things and they take pictures of it. But to break it down to this way, where it's a hobby of something we all like doing. Where's your marketing team? I need that more.
Well, I feel like hipsters are like the douchey version of people who have great taste.
Yeah, that's fair.
So in general, like, what hipsters like, we pretty much always like. We're just, they make it look bad.
Got it.
And so I feel like...
You don't own any scarves.
Having to label it...
Or hat.
Or, handlebar mustache.
Yeah. Just the beard. You have a hipster beard, though.
I do. Is that a hipster?
That's not a hipster beard.
I don't know.
If he's got a hipster beard, I have one,
too. Oh, you do, too. Yeah.
We're just... Men of a certain age.
Scruffy men.
But I mean, I share a lot of hipster tastes, so there's no getting around that. I just don't dress that way.
How many meals do you have while listening to The Shins?
I know, exactly. Well, not recently, so there you go.
All right, I like that reason. That's number four.
Okay.
Let's move to number three.
Number three.
I'm glad that worked. Now it's
okay, so number three is going to be controversial.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, you've said some really scandalous things already about charcuterie, so.
It's true. So, Mike, do you want to take this one?
No, you can.
She's throwing the controversy on
you. I appreciate it.
Because we debated it, and he was like, this may, so basically, it forces us to stay healthy. I know, weird, right?
How is that controversial, number one?
Because most people would think being a foodie does the exact opposite. It forces you to be unhealthy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But because we put an emphasis on eating a lot of different things, and making big meals and going out, you know, every night, we also have to make sure to stay healthy, you know, and live long enough to keep doing that. So we have Fitbits and we make sure to walk, you know, at least 10,000 steps a day.
Yes.
We have a personal trainer.
We plan other meals around it.
Yeah, exactly. We eat light. We're like, we're going to eat light meal, heavy, heavy. And then we actually think a lot about our...
It forces you to think more on what you're eating.
What we're eating and what we're doing to...
Offset.
Maintain, offset, yes, all that.
That perfectly logical sense. I don't have those thoughts when I go to 7-Eleven, so I understand. But I understand that completely. It just kind of now, Mike. Do you? I know you have some lists, so you also jotting down notes and calories or this or that. Is there anything you do after the meal that would help focus some of this?
Not really. No. Okay. I mean, I'm
kind of the.
Well, I know you get some. Yeah.
No, stuff I have a few word docs that do stuff, but not calories or anything.
No, he'll never do calories.
A few word docs. Oh, he says casually.
And he says modestly. It is more than a few.
Yeah. Or how long is the list?
So long.
What do you put
scrolling,
on these lists,
scrolling,
Mike?
Scrolling.
You're glossing over this important detail.
He says you do. You know you do.
One.
One. Yeah. Michael
you
Horowitz
need to keep
does.
Track of the best pizza, best avocado toast, best breakfast burritos, best hamburgers.
Right.
And so, you know, and there's obviously the bigger thing is the lists of places to try.
He's got a list.
That one I understand.
Yeah.
I understand all of them. All right, avocado toast. You got a list of avocado toasts. What, 10 best avocado toasts in town?
Well, you can go onto treatsandgeeks.com and you can see our list
That's a great plug.
We call it the very important avocado toast quest.
Yeah.
Or deeply important avocado toast quest.
But that kind of answered the question I think I was going to is that's why you're doing it. You're not just doing, or at least now you're not doing it for yourself. Was there a point where you just kind of like, I need to organize my thoughts because it's a hobby?
Yeah, the most... Yeah, no, absolutely. It has been mostly for me and my friends.
Right.
And I do, I don't want to step into your other things here, so never mind. I'm not going to say that.
To be
revealed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So number three, focus.
It forces us to stay healthy.
Stay healthy.
Or try it, you know, like take great strides to stay healthy enough to continue having this as a hobby.
If you still want to do it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, we could do it, but it would just be detrimental to us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I would say back just... macro of that idea. Yeah. I think we are incredibly conscious about eating.
We are.
I think that, you know, whatever. I'm on day 30 of Headspace, so I totally understand how all meditation works and being aware. And I just know more about meditation than pretty much everybody.
Oh, yeah. He's basically
like, it's
a guru.
Just, at this point, I've got 300 minutes.
Oh, my
God. I'm like, it's me and then the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Sometimes I have to like apologize for levitating and shit.
Yeah,
sure.
It's true.
But. It's all about awareness.
Yeah.
And I do feel like the celebratory walk to 7-Eleven sometimes is not incredibly conscious and aware.
Yeah.
And we think way too much about food.
That's true.
Right.
And we think about going there and we think about how we're going to get there. And then we go there and we think about the menu and we photograph it and then we eat it. So as dorky as that is, we are incredibly conscious.
Dorky, obnoxious, whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
terrible.
Yeah.
Love
potato,
it.
Potato.
Sorry, listeners.
Good. No, it's great. It's good. Number two.
Do you want to do any of these?
No, you can do it.
You can do this.
You're doing
fantastic.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
Number two.
Oh my God, you're
two.
So good at this.
Number
it's
two.
All that meditating.
Community and eating. Sharing restaurant.
This is a note. You don't have to read it verbatim.
Oh, well,
jackass.
Every other one is.
Oh my God.
I'm just going to let you figure this out.
Number two.
When you get married, you have a month to kind of hash out how you read lists.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Let's work on that.
Number two. Community and bonding, because eating is a communal experience. It's a social thing. So you go out there and you talk to the waiters. You talk to your friends if you're at dinner with them.
Yeah, we just did.
You
good dinner.
You can also share, to hear Mike and one of my good friends, Jessica, just geek out about restaurants and have you been here? Have you been here? Did you eat this? No, I didn't eat this. You know, it was really good this. And you get to just, facilitates conversation, and you want to share an experience with other people.
When I'm eating dinner in the Walgreens parking lot crying by myself, there's no community there.
That's
true. No community there. So I understand what you're saying. But yes, and that is why... That is why I can understand even this list is... This is a good list.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for your approval.
Watch your tongue. This is a good list because chain restaurants are not... The reason I like to go do that is I like to grab four or five people. You know, used to make fun of me because I used to go to dinner at 5 o'clock like an old man. But
now I'm all for it.
Now you're all for it. Thank you, Mike, for helping to take that scorn away from me.
Yeah. I don't know about five, but six.
It's the Picasso thing. I want to grab my friends at midnight, grab a dinner, and let's all drink to my house.
Share food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay,
even in a digital sense, once we Instagram, there's a whole community we're a part of on Instagram. That's
the hashtags work.
Hashtag LA foodie,
Do you have meetups? Do you meet up with these other strangers?
Meetups, but we by accident have been in the restaurant with other people who have
that's
been
true,
as well.
Geotagged, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
But we have met people who we've just met online.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We've actually gone to dinner with them. Yeah.
Okay. Just strangers?
Yeah, strangers.
That's something,
now they're friends. Not anymore.
That is something you never would have done.
Community.
Yeah. I wouldn't have done it alone.
Well, no, Lord but knows. Still, even yeah. the concept of yeah, you want to go sit down to dinner with some strangers because
no.
we met over a hashtag.
Hell no.
Right, and now yeah, you're doing it.
Terrifying. Yeah.
And it puts a focus on that, and that's good. And for you, Mike, before Megan came in your life, and you have, I know you have a lot of great friends. David Fickus is a mutual friend, great guy. Would you ever just kind of go out on your own?
Oh, I'm fine eating alone.
Yeah, he can eat alone.
I am too. All jokes aside, yeah. but so that kind of was part of this for you too, like getting to enjoy it on your own.
Yeah, experience yeah. I mean, at new parts. I do. I actually have friends who prefer to just eat at the bar always
and weirdos.
Talk with the bartender, things like that.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I am happy to sit there with a laptop. I'm happy to sit there with a book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not like the guy who's going to sit at the communal table and try and talk to everybody.
Sure.
God, nobody likes that guy.
No, I don't like that guy either.
I didn't come here to eat with you. Says the girl who was just like, community and making friends.
But you've taken to that, Megan, there. You've taken to it now. You like that. Grabbing your friends.
Yes,
grabbing them.
Of course. Okay. I always like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's a good, powerful item on your
list.
But
that's like the reason why this is an amazing hobby.
Right.
Yeah.
We're almost at number one, but recap quickly. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right.
This is
all right.
the five
Michael,
best
you
reasons.
You can recap. You don't have to read it verbatim.
Okay.
You can just
five
give
best
bullet
reasons
points
to be a foodie.
All right. We're bragging about pronouncing words.
Mm-hmm.
We're bragging about celebrating awesomeness of eating, which we do normally.
Great.
We are forced to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, crying at Walgreens is good for that. Yeah.
That is.
It burns some calories.
Community and bonding. Eating is social.
That's number two.
And
number
here we
one.
Go.
Number one.
Number one, babe.
Kind
do
of
it.
Piggybacking, one. Piggybacking off that one.
Mm-hmm.
It also forces us to keep dating. Because what's the difference between going to try that new restaurant and going out to eat together?
Yeah.
Fucking nothing.
Right.
We go out on dates just about every night.
Well, that's sweet.
Isn't it?
That's syrupy sweet.
Oh,
no. No, I'm kidding. That's okay.
One.
That keeps the magic alive.
Yeah, I realized that like, you know, two years into a relationship, really. I was like, oh, you know what? We date a lot. It's really cool. We don't just sit at home and tune out and watch TV. And
Right, it is.
I mean, we do that. We do that
sure,
later. But we put
but
in the time
yeah.
to sit across from each other.
It's not just that.
Yeah, talk about the menu, pronounce words we both know.
Charcuterie.
Right. Yeah, and really talk and engage. And then we can go home and ignore each other.
No, exactly.
You've earned
as we Instagram.
Yeah, as we Instagram what we ate and just.
So it adds not spice and spark. That's other things there, but it adds that feeling of you're still in that you know early stages of a relationship. You know, you get to kind of keep the flames going there in that regard.
Yeah.
I totally get that because that's one of the things you know when the relationship takes that turn.
Right.
Like,
we all know that's
tonight.
Right.
Yeah. Tonight we're gonna go out. What do you want to do tonight? Chick-fil-A. You want to go Chick-fil-A and watch Netflix? Okay. We've reached that point.
Yeah,
and like, there's some comfort in that.
Yeah,
but there's the fun of this early on stuff, and you guys get to experience it a lot.
Yeah,
yes, we do.
Actively choose to keep doing that.
Right, right.
We're in a death march.
A.K.A. relationship.
I'm just kidding. We're committed. We're on the track.
I mean, I see where Mike's coming
from. Stop using death analogies.
I see where he's coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm just saying we're not switching over anytime soon. Like, we are
yeah,
foodies.
This is our, yeah, this is our life.
This is we're done. We're committed.
You'll be in your 70s.
Yeah.
And
you'll be like, please,
Megan will be in her 30s.
List.
But,
one more list about something about cooking. No,
yeah.
never,
no.
nothing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. I like that. I think that's a good reason. Food is awesome. It would have been a good number one,
right?
But I think when you tie it back to what brought you guys together,
I know.
Not the only thing.
That
of
was
course,
Mike's note. Mike was like, ended on the romance. It
ended
note,
on
baby.
The romance. That's important, especially a month out from your wedding. Absolutely. I like that a lot.
Oh, really?
I like that a lot.
Wow.
And it has, in all sincerity, made me think twice about that word and any thoughts I had about charcuterie. Another foodie word. And why we're here to discuss it. It you've given some great valid points to why it isn't what you might think it is from the outside.
No, good. I don't feel like we need to like win you over to that word. I hated that word for 5 years of eating out of restaurants every day.
Right.
It didn't matter. I was still allowed to eat there.
And to be fair, chain restaurants fit into it too. Our very favorite restaurant in the whole world is
Lucille's Barbecue?
No.
I don't even know that one. Houston's.
that
am I going to say it's our favorite? We just talk about it all the time.
It comes up a lot.
Because it's the restaurant that you want to go to after a bad day of work. It's the restaurant you want to go with friends. It's the restaurant, you know, it's like Hillstone Group. It's pretty crazy.
It's great.
And also they have this weird thing where they are all named something different.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we always think that
any restaurant is
might secretly be a Houston's.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, chain restaurants fit into that.
Yeah.
Chili's even.
I love
me a Chili's.
Occasionally.
As long as I know you can downgrade.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of the outside looking into. I'm like, all right, are you judging me because I'm a NoHo diner?
No. I love me a NoHo diner. Flo, I will go there anytime.
Is serving me a tasteless pork chop, you know?
But wait, the tasteless part, that sounds bad.
Yeah.
If that does.
There is some awesome.
And it is.
There is some. Yeah. Okay.
But the pancakes are good.
There is some awesome diner food. There's some really amazing cheap eats.
I believe you probably have a list of diner stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Updated regularly.
Yeah, as it should. Uh-huh. As it should. Guys, you've come in here. You come in here hot. You come in here to play. And I like it a lot. You did good. And you had to share a mic when my mics exploded tonight.
That's true. It's pretty embarrassing for you.
Let's not share this mic.
Just my mic.
God. That was almost too much.
That was almost too much.
That
so bad.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't have a video.
Can you cut that out?
I'm not going to cut it out. You did it. It's out there in the world. That was too cute.
Top five jokes I'm ashamed of.
I regret it immediately.
Mike, Megan, I love you both. I know you guys are building up towards your wonderful wedding that I'm going to be attending, and maybe we'll do a post-mortem on that,
Ooh,
too.
We'll break it down.
Did the Redwood wedding live up to Megan's expectations? Because mics don't matter. It's really yours. Right?
What? No. Oh.
It's all about the bride.
Oh. Yeah. It's all about the bride, and if I can get a dance with an Ewok.
Oh, my God. I'll see if I can make that happen.
At the wedding.
Wow.
Similar
goals.
Mike and Megan run Treats and Geeks. It's mostly on Instagram, but also the website, too.
On the interwebs. Treatsandgeeks.com.
You also have your personal stuff there, too, if you want to follow them on Instagram. What's Mike eating now, correct?
What's Mike eating now?
Add a lot of S's in it.
Yeah. That's good. People like that.
And then Arya Stark on Twitter, Maggie Finn, right? Mm-hmm. You've changed that handle a few times. I get confused.
Now it's Maggie Finn.
Maggie Finn. Don't forget your work on the wonderful Offbeat Empire sites, right?
Offbeat Bride, Offbeat Home.
That's right. If you're out there and you're about to get married and you want to do it off kilter,
come visit me.
Go seek out Megan and everyone over at Offbeat Bride and everything they do. Mike, good luck to you, Sue, to holding on to her, number one, and also your producer writing career. If you can convince this woman to eat chicken,
I know.
You're doing good.
Good. All right.
Good for you, sir.
Good to know.
And Mike, you have Twitter as well, right?
I do.
I know you don't use it much.
M?
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Yes, his Twitter handle is Horwitt M.
Yeah,
Terrible.
Horwitt.
Just take his last name, take the last letter off of it, and put an M in front of it.
Charcuterie. He was a transformer. I like it. Guys, that is Life Rank for this day. This is our list on the best reasons to be a foodie. If you're out there and have some thoughts on it, use the hashtag LifeRank. You can follow me at Ken Napsok. The Napsok Files has an official Facebook page, as do I. You can go there. Don't forget we're on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review. And the Patreon page is still up and running. And we get exclusives on there, too, for supporting. And I appreciate that. For Mike, for Megan, for all the food yet to be eaten, we'll see you guys next time.